you would, to John chapter number 8 this morning. John chapter number 8. How many of you remember 9/11 when the planes came into the towers? Remember watching those and feeling the feeling that you had? We never in this country, we never seen anything like that. And to see it play out on TV. And so I happened to be at that time, I was over the fire in EMS, and I sent some folks down there to work in all that situation, the aftermath, to help clean up and deal with issues. But we watched that, and we felt like we felt a sense of invasion because we had never seen anything in America quite like that. But can you imagine living in countries that are overtaken? Or living in countries where dictators just come in I've read some situations where, for instance, the one that was over Iraq for a while, Hussein or whatever his name was, his sons would just see a wedding, go in, take the bride right out of the wedding and take her out and rape her and send her back in there, and the husband have to stand and take it. Nothing he could do. Can you imagine living in a place where they just come in and take what you got? I talked to a Jew one time that lived during the time of Hitler, and he was in another country, and they would come in even in that country because he was a Jew. They take him and his family, his whole family, they take their clothes, they take every position, everything they had, strip them off naked, put them on the road and tell them to leave, and they took everything from them. They'd have to find another place to live and walk down the road naked. We don't know anything like that. We've been blessed to have freedoms. This morning I want to preach about being free. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a what? Servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son, therefore, make you free, ye shall be what? Free. Indeed." Can I say something? That there's probably nothing any worse than being a slave. I look back in the history, and by the way, it wasn't just the white race captivating black race and bringing them to country to work. It was many of the black race selling their own. When you read about slavery and the history of slavery in the country, it has the same root that many other types of slaveries has. The root was the love of money was the root of all evil. The love of money is what brought and had different ones treating other human beings like animals. Not only that, but you also, I look and I see sometimes, I was watching a documentary about these girls being taken and sold into the sex slave, 11, 12, 13 year old. Many of them were sold by their own relatives and taken. And they would talk about that they'd have anywhere from 12 to 15 to 17 men a day, every day, for years. I can't imagine being enslaved in something like that. There are other ways of being enslaved. As I said, I worked as paramedic and within a rock throw this way. Picked up a man one day just within a rock throw. slave to alcohol. He was so enslaved to alcohol that every nickel and dime he made, he went out and he bought something to drink. At the time, this place wasn't wet. And so what he would do is he'd go get Listerine. He'd go get other things that had some type of alcohol content, NyQuil. And we go. I went into his room, and there he laid. He threw up on himself for days, urinated, defecated all over himself for days. He's sitting there and he stunk and had all kinds of bottles of cooking wine and Listerine and all kinds of NyQuil bottles laying all around his bed. Nasty. He was picking things out of the air. And I thought, how sad. I have no doubt he didn't intend on being enslaved to alcohol when he started. But I thought, how sad to get that entrenched in wanting alcohol, that everything that you all thought of every day was just to get one more drink. On the rock throw this way, I responded to a 32-year-old lady. Drugs had taken her life. She had so much scar tissue in the bends of her arms that you couldn't hardly get a needle to penetrate. She'd sitting there and she'd done so many drugs and her life was in such a mess that she took a .32 pistol and she stuck it right between her breasts and she shot herself, wanting to end her life. I was down there by her face and I was talking to her and I saw that she was going to die. My wife here, she'll vouch for it. And I began to tell her, I said, do you want to die in the condition you're at? Do you understand that there's a Savior that died for your sins? Amen. And she began to curse me, curse God, curse life. Drugs had so wrecked her life. And I could see on the monitor that I was fixing to lose her, and she went out, and then she all of a sudden she'd come back, and she began to scream at the top of her lungs. She began to grab my shirt, and she ripped it off, and she began to claw my back. Woke up the next morning, Chris said, what's happened to you? I said, what? She said, a wildcat's been a hold of your body. I said, I got clawed last night by a woman that died. And she began to scream, help me. And she began to cry with shrills and rip my shirt and just claw my body. And she died in my arms. I thought, how sad to get so enslaved to drugs. It's sad to be a slave of anything. You may be here this morning, and you may think all is well with you. But if you're not saved, the Bible says, and Jesus said, that you're a slave to sin. And you're a servant to that. Every one of us have been there. I remember when I was enslaved. Sin had a hold of me. My desires, my thoughts, were things of the flesh. But I'm glad I've been set free. To be free is to be independent, not confined, having rights. Here in this country and today and this weekend as we celebrate Memorial Day, I want you to think this morning, I want to give you three thoughts, but I want you to think on each of these three thoughts, the privileges you have in this country concerning freedom, and if you're here and you're saved, the privileges you have of being saved with Christian freedom. There's nothing greater than to know in whom you believe. Amen. And to be persuaded that what he has promised us, we're going to get. Nothing greater to know that it's not your actions, it's not you, your ability that's going to save you, but it's Jesus and his shed blood. Nothing greater than to have your confidence in Christ and not in your own selves. This morning, I want us to think about this, freedom's prize. This country, you young people, see the flag? What does a red stripe stand for? What? Huh? Whose blood? Didn't have it for the Revolutionary War, Civil War. These facts, I don't know if they're completely accurate, but they're pretty close. 618,222 people killed in the Civil War. 400,175 wounded, if those numbers are accurate. The World War I, 50,585 killed. 205,000, and that's U.S. people, by the way, 205,690. World War II, 292,000 killed. Korean War, my dad was in, 125,600 killed. Vietnam, 58,000 killed. Untold how many wounded. Other wars since then, the numbers that have been killed, I don't have. But in all these, not only were soldiers died, but families were affected. Homes were affected forever. Some people that was wounded have come back and been damaged for life. Mentally, physically, socially, even spiritually. So when we understand freedom, freedom doesn't come without a price. Somebody has paid to let us enjoy the privileges we have. To be able to walk and live and own our own things and live and have rights and responsibilities. That didn't come without somebody paying a price. Folks, we owe all those that's paid that price and are still paying the price to keep us that way. Not only this country was a price paid, but to be saved, to be brought out of the servitude, the bondage of sin, and to be set free, we had someone else pay a price. The Bible says that it was Jesus, the Son of God, went to the cross of Calvary. There he paid the debt for our sins.
Amen.
He was punished for our sins.
Amen.
God the Father, the only time in existence of God, the triune of God the Father and God the Son was separated only because of our sins. And at that time, Jesus as man cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Darkness for 3 hours went upon the face of the earth as God turned his back and Jesus had to pay for our sins. It didn't come free. You say it's a gift. It's a gift, but it came with a great price. Paul said, don't you know you've been bought with a price?
Amen.
The Bible says we wasn't redeemed with things like silver and gold, corruptible things, but we were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Folks, we owe Jesus that paid the price for our salvation. Let's never forget the liberty that we have, the freedom that we enjoy being saved. And Christians, let's never forget the one that we owe that paid that price for us. Not only that, but also there's problems that comes with freedom. In the country, we have rights and they have taken and turned rights upon their head. We've gone so far, and I believe men and women ought to all have equal rights. But we've gone so far in women's rights now that we've concluded that women's rights included the right to kill babies in wombs and call it health care or health management. That's abuse of rights. That has nothing to do Everyone has a right, including the baby that's in that womb. We've gone so far with religious rights. We can no longer carry a Bible, say a prayer in a school, wear a shirt with Jesus on it. We've gone so far that we can't even have a word of prayer at a ball game anymore. Somebody said, well, there's so many gods and so many religions. That's not the way this country was set up. They had a pretty good idea who God was when it was set up. But we've gone so far that we've lost because of the rights that we include. Christian rights, keep your fingers if you would. Being a Christian, turn if you would to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 real quickly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul wrote this in chapter 8 and verse number 9. He said, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. You see, what happens sometimes is what we do is we forget that freedom is a two-sided coin. Freedoms, you have privileges, but you have responsibility. Somebody says, well, I have a freedom to do anything I want. No, you have a freedom that gives you privileges to do things, but you have responsibilities to handle that freedom. Paul said this. He said, listen, being saved means that you are saved, that you have everlasting life, but don't allow your liberty, your Christian liberty, to be a stumbling block to other people. Doesn't mean that you don't have responsibilities. Look, if you would, in Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Paul wrote again in verse number 13. He said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. He said, listen, the fact you have liberty, then pay it forward. Do something. Take it. Somebody said, well, preacher, do you look down upon people that are slaves to sin? No, it breaks my heart. I remember continually, that could be me. I could very well be that person. I could be caught up in any of those situations. Only by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we need to never forget. But there, what God wants us to do is this, use our liberty to help others. Did you know that 90% of all missions around the world comes from being funded from America? You know what America's doing? They're paying it forward. They're saying, God's blessed us. Let us share God with other countries. If you go back and look on the backboard there on the way out, look and see how many missionaries this little church here supports. To be able to take and just take a few dollars that God's blessed us with to live here and to be able to go all over the world and have missionaries in all these other countries preaching the gospel is a good feeling. Somebody said, well, preacher, seems like we give an awful lot to missions. You know why? To whom much is given, much is required. God's been good to us. And therefore, we ought to pay it forward. Paul says, use your liberty. As America, use our liberty. You know why all these people are coming into the country? I don't blame them. I blame some of the Congress and so forth for not setting laws restricting certain things. But I don't blame them for wanting to be in this country. It's the greatest country in the world. I understand it. But what God wants us to do is this. Use our liberties and use the goodness of God and use the blessings that we got to be able to share it with others and do other things. Last, the freedom's purpose. You go back to the history of this country. Our forefathers came here so that they would not have to be under the restriction of a church state. No government should be able to tell you how to worship and who to worship and where to worship. They came here to be freed of that. They also came here to be free of taxation without any representation. I know some of these liberals are calling for 70, 80, 90% of your income to support certain causes. How ridiculous is that? This country was not founded with, they came here to be free of that kind of stuff. And so therefore we have that purpose that God came, that God raised up this nation and their forefathers came. And therefore we have the liberty and freedoms to be able to come and assemble ourselves right here and worship without having government come in. Several of our missionaries, as they've been here just last year or two, the one from China told about why they were here, government coming into the church, taking over their building, putting them out. Just got one from Matthew Henry from India talking about the same thing. And last but not least, turn with me, if you would, Romans chapter number 6. As Christians, we need to understand that God's got a purpose for us too. In Romans chapter 6, look in verse number 18, what Paul wrote. He says, being then made what? Free from sin, ye became the what? Servants of righteousness. Look on down, if you would, in verse 22. But now being made what? Free from sin, and become what? Servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. What he's saying is this. He said, don't forget, God has a purpose for you. What he wants you to do is to serve others. As God has blessed you and given to you, God has a purpose. And so therefore what we do is we use our freedom, but we are responsible with our freedoms. And therefore we need to understand and not take our freedoms lightly. Young people, don't take your freedoms lightly of the country. And don't take them lightly if you're a Christian. And understand and don't forget the great prices that have been paid. Let me say this and read this to you, and I'll close right here with this thought. In the trail of blood, just one symbol of the trail of blood is exactly that, the blood that's been left of those that established. But he makes his statement, talking about the dark ages. He said, I call your attention to those upon whom the hard hand of persecution fell. If 50 million died of persecution during the 1,200 years, of what's called the Dark Ages, and history seems positively to teach, then they died faster than an average rate of 4 million every 100 years just to carry on. Can I say this? When you read the history of the church, they were brought, and you've heard me teach, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but can you imagine having your children brought before you in a coliseum, having wild beasts boiling oil, a steak with a fire and kindled, and then you being told, you either say Caesar is Lord, and if you say Jesus is Lord, then your children are going to die first. We're going to skin them alive, we're going to boil them alive, we're going to burn them at stake, we're going to feed them wild animals, then we're going to do you that way. Can you imagine having to stand and face that? We enjoy the privileges of our church. We enjoy the privileges of having Bibles in every household because of the price of people like that that paid. It come with a price, folks. Therefore, don't take it lightly. And enjoy, but thank God for your freedoms. Now, let me say this. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're still a servant of that sin. And you don't know where life's going to get you. But sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Today, if God's dealing your heart, you ought to come. Become a child. Be set free. Wouldn't you like to be set free from the bondage of sin? Would you come this morning? Give your heart to Christ? He bids you to come. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Yeah. Would you come this morning as we stand? Give a song, Brother Porter.
Page 23.